The guy gave Kedushin 5 women. He doesn't remember which one he's Mekadosh. Now here is a guy who wrote a ksuba to one woman, right? And doesn't know to whom. He was Mechayiv himself in a ksuba. Might not have been written, so nobody has a star, but he obligated himself in ksuba at the time of Kedushin to one woman, and they all claim to be that one woman. So nice and get Mechalachas Yachas. He doesn't want to marry all of them. He gives a get to each one of them. And listen, he puts the money down and says, Rabbi Sai, I obligated myself in one ksuba. I for sure don't own the other four. Why should I pay it? Here is the money. You guys figure it out. Actually, nice to get Luchalakas. Rachas and Main the Chav at least to school him if he doesn't want to marry them. Divere of Tarfon. Kibar Main say, Derek might be the Avera. But Kibar says, no, he has an Avera. He put himself in a position, he's to blame. Why doesn't he know who he owes the money? He's masking he owes the money. How can he not pay them? They're claiming he owes them the money. He's a Shema. And he admits he owes the money. It's not pshat. Maybe I don't owe the money. I for sure owe the money. I just don't know to whom. So Rabbi Akiva says, he has to pay each and every one of them. And the Gemara gives us a different case. He stole one of 5 people. He doesn't remember whom. 4 of them are lying. He stole from one person. He admits that he stole. He doesn't know from whom he stole. So one of them is claiming, I am the victim. They are bari. Not only he's a shema, he's not a shema if he owes. He's a vadai owes, just doesn't know to whom. So Maniyah Gazela b'neim misalik divar Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon says, listen, he puts the money down and says, Rabbi Sai, work it out. I only owe this money. Kivai main to zarech maitim zavera. Rabbi Kiva says he's gonna pay each and every one. Dr. Gemara, kidesh tani, baal like tani. You notice it only says he did kedushin, but if he would have lived with one of the 5, then and each one claims he lived with them, then Reb Tarfon seemingly would agree, because he took it to the point that he lived with a woman. You can't say. Put work it out. You lived with her. One of these women you lived with. You owe to make it up. Give it a ksuba. That was the mashma from the Mishnah. But on the other hand, gazuk tani lakach like tani. It only says in the case of money, when there's no marriage, the Bechiva says if you stole, you got to pay everybody else. What if you bought from one of the 5? Each one claims they sold you that item, and you don't know. Doesn't say in the Mishnah Rabbi Akiva would say have to pay everybody else. So our Mishnah seems to be rather clear. Rabbi Akiva said it by stealing and by Kedushin, and Rabbi Tarfon said it by Kedushin but not Bia, right? So who is the author of this Mishnah? That the Gemara Mani Masisul and Tanakam of Shimon ben Elazar. It doesn't go with either one of the 2 versions of those Tanoim, the Tanya. We'd be medayek de luchayre. He should agree. We're not. Netanya. If Shimon Elazar Amalei Nechlu Gur B'Tarfon Rabbi Akiva Shekid the Shachas Mechamish Nosim Ve'Ein Yedei Zekid the Shemniach Ksuba B'Neim Amistalik. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says Rabbi Akiva agrees by kedushin that you only pay once. Aman Nechlu Gur Shabal. He lived with a woman. Once you live with a woman, you were megana her. You treated her. Now to divorce her and not pay ksuba. Word Gigino means, you treated her unseemingly. Meaning, how do you live with a woman, not know which woman you live with, and therefore not pay her a ksuba? Which is not like our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said the Machlokes is by Kiddush, not by Baal. And that Shimon Elazar says it's only by Baal. And he also says, they don't argue in a case when you bought from 5 people. And you don't know who you bought from. Where you did an avla. So in both cases, Rav Shimon Elazar says, if you did something that you're to be blamed for. You lived with a woman and you stole. Now, living with a woman is not wrong if you know which woman it is. Not if you don't know which woman it is. And Now, that means that half the Mishnah is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and the other half of the Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Midikamer Rav Shimon ben Elazar b'kiddush v'lakach loy pligi. Since Rav Shimon ben Elazar speaks out that they don't argue by kiddush and lakach, b'chal the Tanakhama serve pligi. That means he must have been responding for somebody who said, no, they're arguing by kiddush and they're arguing by lakach. Again, the Tanakhama would be like half the Mishnah, not like the other half. That means our Mishnah is neither of the two opinions. Because the Tanakhama's opinion seems to be they argue by kiddush and lakach. Even though we don't have it, but that's the inference. And Rav Shimon Elazar says, no, in those cases, there's no argument. The argument is when Baal and Gazal. That's the argument. Now, our Mishnah has it, the argument by Kiddush and Baal and Gazal. Means not Lakach and not Baal. So it's not like either of the two Tanoim. So Mani, E Tanakama listening Kiddush or Lakach, E Rav Shimon Elazar listening Baal or Gazal. So therefore, our Mishnah doesn't fit either of the two opinions. Now again, in Kiddush and Lakach, the act that he did wasn't so terrible. He bought, doesn't remember who. He was Mekadosh, doesn't remember who. Baal and Gazal is a step ahead. You're Baal, you're treating a woman, you already had a physical relationship, and you don't know with whom? It's a certain gnosier. You stole, you violated a law, and now you're claiming you don't know from whom? We can't be nice to you. You stole. So those are the cases that lend itself to Rabbi Akiva. Kiddush and Lakach lend itself more to Rabbi. You're blaming a guy. He made a mistake. He doesn't remember. But the Tanakhama says the argument is in all cases, or at least in the first Kiddush and Lakach. Shimon Elazar says it's only Baal and Gazal. Our Mishnah seems to pick and choose. Because since Rav Shimon Elazar says they don't argue in cases, must be somebody told them they do argue in that case. Rav Shimon Elazar said they don't argue by Kiddush, they only argue by Baal. That means Tanakhama must have said they argue by Kiddush. And then Rav Shimon Elazar says they don't argue by Lakach, they only argue by Gazal. That means Tanakhama must have said they argue by Lakach. And with the Gemara, Loilam Rav Shimon ben Elazar. By Kiddush? Kiddush would be, Kiddush in our Mishnah doesn't mean with money. Einokinami, our Mishnah would say, Kiddush and Lakach, no machloikas. You pay once, let them work it out. But if you lived with a woman, Kiddush would be, then, Dr. Gemara, Tana Kiddush Lizaka Kaikad Rebbe Kiva, the Abagad Yisur Drabanan Avad, we don't want people to be Mekadish Vabiya. He did something wrong rabbinically. Kanis, we punish the guy. And Tana Gazel, Zaka Kaikad Rebbe Tarfin, the Abagad Yisur Drabanan Avad Loi Kanis. And let me explain. If you went with basic law, the guy admits he owes money. He doesn't remember to who. He's sure he doesn't owe more than one. How can you make him pay more than once? Anybody. Lakach, Kiddush, Gazal, Baal. In all cases, he's saying, I owe one thing. Why are we making him pay five?
Right? Don't we have that?
I don't know. He should only pay once. The answer is, it's a knas. We punish the guy for not knowing what he's supposed to know. He should be knowing this. Now, the Mo'amad Yama says, we punish him even when he bought or did Kiddushin. He didn't do any Yisurim, but the bottom line is, there's a certain negligence here on his part. And the other Mo'amad Yama says, no, we only punish him when he did an Isser. Now, what Isser did he do? He lived with a woman, Kiddush Mabia, is an Isser. And Rabbi Akiva punishes even then. And Rabbi Tarfon says, even when he stole, which is a deraisa, we don't punish the guy. Rashi. Rabbi Tarfon is. No. Rabbi Tarfon is arguing Mabia.
You wouldn't punish?
Right, he learns the Mishnah means Kiddush Mabia. We're saying our Mishnah, there's two shittas here. There's Rav Shimon ben Elazar and there's a Tanakhama. We wanted to line up our Mishnah. The answer is we're lining up our Mishnah like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. But the Mishnah said Kiddush. The answer is the Mishnah meant Kiddush Mabia. Rashi. The Rashi Kiddush Tani didn't kill the member Hashem to come and retire from the Menicha B'neim. Hashem Meisi didn't do anything. I'm a bow like Tani to lift the retire from the Kivan. The Hashem B'Meisa B'Gina Isa. The bottom line is he treated a woman.
He wronged her.
It's not really wrong her. He's allowed to live with his wife. The answer is you don't know who your wife is. That's wronging her. There's a certain aveira on you. You were megana a woman. People doesn't punish the guy who bought. Not so terrible. Didn't do anything wrong. He just forgot. That's the, again, when he did his Hadakama, the Machloikas is, but he didn't do anything so bad. He was in the Kaddish lady, he doesn't remember who. He bought, he doesn't remember who. There was no Aveira done, so to speak. Just forgot. So, should we punish a guy for forgetting? Tarpin says no. Rabbi Kiva says yes. According to the Tanakama. According to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, nobody punishes the guy for forgetting. We punish the guy for doing something wrong and then forgetting. The Kaddish Babia is wrong. And then you forgot with whom. Gezel is wrong, and then you forgot with whom. That's when we punish you. And Rav Tarfa says, even there we don't punish you. So the question is, who's our Mishnah? The answer is our Mishnah is Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and Kiddush means Babia.
Even in that case,
Rav Tarfa
holds you don't punish.
The guy, the bottom line is, he doesn't owe, meaning, the basic law is like Rav Tarfa.
There's no Kanai.
Exactly.
It's a Dini Mominus.
Dini Mominus. Rashi, my kiddush kiddush v'biyah the gina isa. But for long part of time, for late time, listen, he gazo below he boy kiddush. In fact, Rashi, so why doesn't it just say the case of gzela? There are times that argues even in gzela. So for sure, by kiddush v'biyah, which is not so bad, why did it have to have the argument in both cases? The tavayu itzrich tana kiddush v'biyah l'diachah koichet Rebekiva. The Surah Drabbanon covered. He's just violating rabbinic. The Rav Mangan and Makadish Rabia. Rav used to give Malkus, anybody who was Makadish Rabia. And I'll get to in a minute why. Vainkani Surah Deraisa Velochikanis. We learned the case of Kiddush. What did the guy do wrong? He was Makadish Rabia. The Torah says it's a valid Kedushin. Heisha Niktas, Mishleisha Drachim, Bekasa Mishtar Rabia. The Mishnah says you give him Makadish Rabia. What's wrong? Why did he do an Aveira? Andrews came along, Rav, and said, no, we don't want you to be Mekadosh Babia. That's not how you have a relationship with a woman. You don't start off a relationship with a woman that way. You build a relationship. It's not nice to the first way you have a relationship with a woman is you live together. It doesn't smell right. It's legal, but we, rabbinically, we frown upon it to the point that Rav gave Malkus. So now, would Rabbi Kiva punish a guy for violating rabbinic law? He punishes him for gzela. Would he violate him for rabbinic? Dr. Mishnah, yes, he would. Even if he just violate rabbinic law, you get punished. And Reb Tarfa says, you don't get punished even for violating biblical law. The bottom line is, you only owe one. Why should you pay more? No knas. So there's a chiddush in Kiddush, and there's a chiddush in Gazal. The chiddush in Kiddush is even Reb Akiva, that even though it's only rabbinic, Reb Akiva punishes the guy. You did something wrong, mister. By doing something wrong, you are now obligated to pay five times. And Reb Tarfa says no. And Reb Tarfa says even by biblical, where you violated biblical law, we don't make him pay five. And our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Now the Tanakama holds, just being negligent and forgetting, even without doing any answer, Reb Akiva punishes the guy. You don't do business and forget with whom. And then say, well, I don't know if I owe you money. Hello? You did business with a guy.
So it's knas.
Okay, it's a knas, because by monetary, why should you have to pay? Okay, it's knas. Look, the Mishnah Vayter. Ha'isha shahokha hi ubailum dinas hayam. A woman that her and her husband went to a faraway country. Ubnoi mom, and they had a child. So at this point, when they left town and they moved to China, she was not eligible for Yibum. Her husband had a child. They went, father, mother, and little Chaimel. They all went to out of town. But Boaz Amra, she comes back 5 years later and says, Meiz Baili, Yachach Meiz Bani. Unfortunately, I'm a victim of many tragedies. My husband died, my child died, I'm childless, I'm husbandless. Nemenes, we believe her, meaning we let her get married without Yibum or Chalitza. Because even though she's telling us she has no children, but she's telling us that when her husband died, she had children, which is exactly what we knew when she left, that she has children. So she's not changing the status quo. The status quo when she left was, this woman doesn't need Yibum and Chalitza. She's coming back 5 years later and also telling us, I don't need Yibum and Chalitza. She's not changing anything. She's maintaining. She just tells us a story. He died. Doesn't make it. The bottom line is, why should we think she's lying to us? She has the chazaka that she doesn't need Yibum or Chalitza, and she's maintaining that. So we believe her. Again, she could have not said anything about anybody or about the son. She could have said, my husband died. What?
Everybody knew he already had a son.
He had a son. Meiz b'ni v'achach meiz b'ali. What if she comes back and says, Rabbi Stai, my son died first and then my husband. I need Yibum or Chalitza. So she's changing her status. She left town here not eligible for Yibum or Chalitza. Would have been Karis. And now she's coming back and asking for Yibum, saying, listen, my husband died childless. Zuck, the Mishnah ain't in a menace. She's not believed. But we can't let her get married because she's saying, I'm not allowed to get married. Shavya nafshachaticha v'yisura. We don't believe her, but how can we tell the woman you can get married when she's saying, I'm not allowed to? The chaletzes, chayshus l'zareb, the chaletzes v'lai mitzavela. After Chalitza. Before that, how can she say I can't? Chalitza frees him a marusha.
Right,
either nothing or real. Exactly. She left with her husband and she had no children. So at that point, she was in the status of needing Yibum. And she comes back and tells us, by the way, when I was in China, I had a kid. Right. But my child died, Rahman al-Islam, and afterwards my husband died, and I'm still need Yibum. That's exactly the way she left. She left needing Yibum, she comes back needing Yibum. Right? So that look is Namena. She could have not told us about the son. What if she comes and tells us, my husband died first and then my son, and I'm not allowed to have Yibum? I want to get married. My husband died with children. Ain't in a menace. We can't trust her. However, we can't have her Yibum because the bottom line is she's claiming she's Usher. So he told the guy, give her Chalitza. So we can't believe her to free her, but at the same time, we can't make her have Yibum. So we say Chalitza, no Yibum. So the bottom line is,
Rabbi,
if she doesn't change statuses, there's no reason for us not to believe her. If she wants to change her status, we don't believe her, but we're machmer in her because Shila Maisa said she's usher.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi, can I ask a question here? So,
sure.
Let's say she testifies that her son died first and then her husband died. She is not believed.
She is believed.
Which case? The case
did
where
she live with children? Did she leave without children?
She left without children.
So then if she comes back and says, my child died first and my husband died second, she is believed.
No, I'm sorry.
She's just maintaining the same status she had when she was here.
No, I got confused. She left with. I'm trying to find the case where she would not have been believed about it. So she would have left without children. And, right? Yeah, she would have left without children, and she claims then that the that the child died second.
Right. So she's not believed.
So in that, she's not believed. But she's not believed. Let's say now the brother-in-law refuses to give her chalitza. He refuses. So she cannot remarry.
Right.
But let's say she does remarry. Has she committed an avera?
Like violating a potential love. Or whoever marries her has to be told you might be living in sin. Because as far as we're concerned, she's the Yevama Lashuk.
What I'm trying to get straight in my mind is what the Rebbeim are going to say to her, what her halachic status is because of the way this happened versus the emes of what actually happened that she cannot prove because she's not believed. I'm trying to keep straight in my mind the difference between
reword your question. Are we going to give her malchus if she gets married with her chalitza?
Yes.
She's claiming she does not need yibum. She left here in a state that she didn't need yibum. We're not trusting her. We're telling her, you cannot get married to anybody. She goes ahead and gets married. Are we going to now give her malchus for violating a lav? Because as far as we're concerned, she needed yibum, a chalitza. Are we now going to give her malchus, or are we going to say, we don't know, and we're just going to say, you're doing wrong, but we can't punish you because we don't know? I think that's what
you're
asking.
You're going to say no. No, almost. I mean, you're going to say, no, we only give malchus when the Rabbanim say we give malchus. I'm trying to figure out the difference between the emes of what actually happened versus
don't know
the
what actually happened.
No,
we don't
she
know.
Knows what actually happened. She knows what actually happened.
Believe again.
God knows.
Let's step back.
I'm sorry, Rabbi, I'm sorry. This is the essence of my question. God knows what happens.
Right,
God
exactly.
knows what
God
happens.
Knows what happened, but we're not God. So we don't know what happened. We have to operate according to the halachas of the Torah. The halachas of the Torah is we don't trust one witness only in the case of iguna. Right? There are three components that are necessary for us to believe one aid to free a woman. One is that it's about a husband. Two, that it's I forgot already the three components. I can look it up. 1 second. There are three components that we need to believe in Eid Echad. One, that they're testifying about something that has death of the Isra Chorus involved. Meaning, as we will see later on, a woman comes in, her husband died, she had no children. Right? She had no children. Her husband died, she has no children. And she walks in and says, my husband's brother died. And therefore I can't have Yibum or Chalitza. I want to get married. Again, a woman's husband died without children. She's now eligible for Yibum. There's one brother. She comes into Bezin and says, listen, I was eligible for Yibum and Chalitza, but he had a heart attack and he died. I don't have anybody to do Yibum or Chalitza now. We don't believe the woman. The Torah never permitted us to believe a woman to remove a Yavam. Because by a Yavam,
Your brother died?
She claims her husband, we know her husband died, and we know he had no children. Now she's claiming her brother-in-law died. We don't believe her. Rabbanan never believed the woman in that case, because the consequences aren't severe. What are we going to do to her if she lied? She violated a law. We're not going to make kids mamzerim. So the whole reason we believed her was because of the consequences. There are no consequences. So therefore, she can't be believed. The second thing we need is that we don't have a chashash. We don't need that is an iguna involved here. That the reason we're believing her is because she's an iguna. She's in a position where she's going to be stuck without marriage.
That's why we believe her.
So there's two reasons. To be matur iguna, and only when there's consequences. And the third reason is, the third thing we need, is that nobody, we're not afraid that somebody wants to marry her and therefore he testified. Meaning we don't let her marry the aide that told her husband died. Because it might be he's lying so he can marry her. Those are the three components necessary when we believe a woman to say her husband died. Or an aide to say her husband died. So in this case here, she left town. I'm in Liyibum. That's what her status was. She's now coming to claim that she doesn't need Yibum because she had a son, and the son outlived her husband. She has no son with us. She doesn't bring her son along. She's claiming he outlived her husband. So she wants to change her status from being somebody that needed Yibum to somebody that didn't need Yibum. Right? There's no belief for that. There's no consequences for that. So we don't believe her. Now, we ask him, be a nice guy and give chalitza. Because if you don't give chalitza, this poor woman just made herself into a mess.
If she brings the son,
that's going to be the next parent. She walks in with her son. How do we know it's a son? I think it's in the next parent.
A woman comes to base and she says, my husband died and he has no brothers. Do they believe her?
No. She's believed to say her husband died, but what do we know? Do we know about brothers? Do we don't know about brothers?
We don't know.
If we don't know about brothers, we assume he had no brothers.
And so she has to prove it?
Again, it depends what the assumption was beforehand. If Bethan doesn't know, I'm not sure. If Bethan knew he had brothers and she's telling us the brothers are no longer alive, we don't believe her. If Bethan didn't know about brothers, so as far as we were concerned, she didn't need Yibum. She's not changing her status.
They let her get married.
Again, I don't know what no know about brothers mean. Does it mean they know that he didn't have brothers?
They don't know. She's new in town, 5 years even.
I don't know what happens if she's new in town.
In other words, they have no idea.
I said, I don't know. The Mishnah's going to talk about a case when we knew there were no brothers. Or listen, we assumed there were no brothers. We knew the man. We didn't know any brothers of his.
What's the first assumption based on this? He has a brother or he doesn't have a
brother? I said, I don't know. I answered it. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm repeating myself. I apologize. Do they make a chakira or they just let it sit?
If they can, they will. If they can't, they can't.
Is that the job of basically?
If they're nice people, they will do that, yes. It's their job. But, you know, it's not either they can find out or they can't find out. She's new in town and she came from Alaska. How are they supposed to find out? They can call Sarah Palin. I don't know. The commissioner discusses cases where we knew the family and didn't know of a brother. And she comes in and says, my husband had a brother who died. We never knew about that brother. So if she wouldn't have said a word, we would have let her get married.
If she didn't come to Bethan, is that what you're saying?
She came to Bethan and said, my husband died and his brother died.
Every widow has to come to Bethan.
But she has Adam to say that he died.
In other words, the woman feels she's...
She needs a hector from Bethan. She says she doesn't have two witnesses.
Is that the case with everything? Anybody who wants to remarry has to go to a rabbi or a Beis Din and say, what is my law status?
You want to know today?
Yes.
Every woman that was once married has to be able to prove to the new rabbi who's going to marry her off that she's not married to anybody.
Yes.
If not, how do you know she's not married to somebody?
Between her or a woman who's getting married. Okay.
Again, if we never knew she was married, then she doesn't have to prove anything. She doesn't have to tell everybody she was married.
And that's good enough for him.
I was never married.
You consider her single up till this point.
Again, if we know she was married, we know she was married.
If we don't know anything about her.
If her name is Mrs. So-and-so, that means she was married.
If you don't know anything about her, we assume that she was never married.
Unless she told us she was, why should we think she was? Anyway, okay, I think we should move on before we let's give the mission a chance. Let's catch up with Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Mez Baili, Vakach, Mez Beniv, Hareini Muteres, Lushuk, Nemena. She's believed. Why? Shabacheskis, Hetel, Lushuk, Yatsub, Apesh, Asu, Apesh, Yitzer. She left here. We never knew about a son. And now she came back and said, I'm sorry. She left here with a son. So she wasn't eligible for Yibum. She didn't have to tell us anything. She could have come just and say, my husband died. By talking about her son dying, nobody asked her to say it. So by saying it and saying he died afterwards, she's not changing anything. But that way, she's not incriminating self, because the same mouth that told us that her son died told her that her son died after her husband. If you believe her completely. Ain't it a matter of Lucy Abimloy? The Chayshish of the Devera, the Askin Abshu Mechazaka, but we have to worry about it. The Shavisal and Abshu Chatikha the Yisura Balma. She made herself a Chatikha the Yisura. Really, she left with her son, and she came back and said her son predeceased her husband. She's changing her status. We can't believe her. But on the other hand, we can't let her get married, because she's saying, I'm not allowed to get married. So we asked the guy, give her chalitza. Nitin li ben. Mihi hocha b'loi ben v'cheskes hasidu li abim. She left without her son. And she was supposed to get Yibum at that point. And now she comes back and maintains her status. We believe her. She didn't have to say anything. If she has to say something to change her status, we don't believe her. But at the same time, she made herself in a pickle. So we asked the guy to give her chalitza. Now we get the new case. She left town. We didn't know of any brothers. Her husband had no brothers that we know of. He was a man, a single son, a ben yachid of his parents. And he was married, and he had no children, and he left town. And she comes back and says, Nitin li yavam b'mdina sayam. You should know, my father-in-law had a son after I left. That means my husband got a brother. We never knew about that brother. Yes. Yeah. But you know, I left town 10 years ago. My father-in-law had a son, right, in the interim. But he died. So I'm free. The son, both. The husband and the other. Again. Reuven left town with his wife. No brothers that we knew of. 10 years later, his wife comes in and says...
You mean knew there were no brothers?
Exactly. Meaning, the Chazaka was he has no brothers. You ask people, they would say, he's a Ben Yochid. He was a Ben Yochid at that point. Then she walks in and says, by the way, my father-in-law Yaakov had another son during these last 10 years. Right? And then she says, but he died. It makes no difference whether he predeceased or post-deceased. At this point, there is no husband's brother. You should know there was for a while, but he's gone. So we said, you could have kept quiet. You didn't even have to tell us about that son. We didn't know anything about Yaakov having another son. You could have just come back and said your husband died and we'd have let you get married. You're the one that put your foot in your mouth and told us that your father-in-law had a son. So you're the same one that told us that he died. If we believe you in half, we'll believe you in the other half. And therefore, she can get married. There's no reason for her to wait for her brother that she claims died. We never knew he existed.
We employed Pesha Aser Pesha Hinter,
which means if you make problems and in the same breath you take out the problems, either we believe you completely or don't believe you at all. Either don't believe me I got a brother-in-law or believe me that he died. I said one statement. I have a brother-in-law who died. Zok the Mishnah. Nitin li yavam m'mdina sayam. Amram meiz bayli v'akach meiz yavami. Or yavami v'akach bayli. Makes no difference in which order. He's not alive anymore. Nemanis. Why? Because we never knew about this brother. She didn't have to tell us he existed. The same mouth that told you he existed told us he doesn't exist anymore.
What is that called when the status remains the same? It's not a chazaka, is it? It is
a chazaka.
Okay.
She made problems to herself and in the same second took away the problem. We never knew of the problem. She's the one that told us about the problem and then told us it's not a problem. So either take your whole statement or don't take anything at all. What we knew about husband's brother? They traveled. She went with her husband, and her husband's brother went with his wife, and they went on a family trip to China. Now, at that point when they left town, we know of a husband's brother. He existed. She comes back and says, my husband and my brother-in-law died. Now, we knew about this brother-in-law. She's not the one that informed us about it. Now she wants us to believe her that her yavam died. We never believe a woman about her yavam. We believe her about her husband. Because the yavam has no consequences. Amra meiz baili, vakach yavami, yavami vakach meiz baili, ain't in the menace. Now the Mishnah gives us the rule. She'ini ishin a menace loy meiz yavami shetinase. A woman cannot come into Bezdin and say, my brother-in-law died, let me get married. Excuse me. You had a brother-in-law, prove he's dead. I'm saying, it echad not nemot to say Yavam died. Only in her husband. And, loy meisach chayseh, she's kind of flabesai. A woman comes in and says, listen, my Reuven was married to my sister Rachel. Rachel died, I can now marry Reuven. No. You know, an edech is not believed to say a woman died so she can marry her husband. If Rachel died, she can marry Rachel to her husband. We don't believe it. She's an Eidechad. Reuven can't walk into Bezin and say, listen, my brother died. I want to do Yibim to his wife. We don't believe him to say his brother died. Because, meaning, he's not even believed as an Eidechad. Usually an Eidechad is believed. Here, he's in a game, and he wants to do Yibum. And right away we say, he's saying it so he can do Yibum. And we would believe him. The Chayra. V'loy meis ishta, she is his achaysa. He can't walk and say, my wife died, I want to marry her sister. There's no such nemanas.
She went to the shuk when the brother says my brother died. We have Gibber Chalitza. Now, does she go out to
Lashuk? She goes out to Lashuk anyway. We have no reason to believe her brother died. I mean, she's married to the brother. Again, but the problem is that he's a gay bedover. That's the thing. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Nitli Ben. He holds a loy Ben, because Nitli Yavam. So, how can come by him, Dina Sayam? He holds a Bechaska Shayla Yavam. Right? My mother in law lives in China. And she left here, we knew of no brother. She comes and informs us of a birth of a brother. The Tavaya Kishari Napshi Lushuk. The menace and Mutaris Lushuk because Kasar is China. She's the one that created the problem. We never knew of the problem. The same one that created the problem removed the problem. Dr. Gemara Vait. Boy Bine Ravamar of Nachman. Okay. Reuven and his wife are childless. Reuven's wife went to Florida. Reuven feels that he's dying. And if he dies, his wife is going to need Jibum. Because he has a brother. And he knows his wife and brother-in-law don't get along. So he wants to do his wife a favor. He wants to divorce her. By divorcing her, she won't need Jibum. He's trying to help her. He's dying. His end is coming. His wife is in Florida, not here to get the get. There's no way to contact her. And if he dies, she's going to be stuck with his brother. And she knows that his wife hates her brother, his brother. So he decides, he asks somebody, do me a favor, be the shliach for my wife to accept her get. Now a get is usually not a good thing for a woman. Women don't like to be divorced. But in this case, doing it as a favor for her to save her from Yibum. Do we say that the shlichus works? Or do we say, listen, we have no reason, we don't know for sure she hates him. Maybe she likes him. We don't know. He's trying to save her from Yibum. Most of the time it's a favor to her. Some of the times it might not be a favor to her. We don't know.
To save Yibum.
To save her, if she divorces her, she won't need Yibum. Of course there's harm.
Why can't she marry? She can marry.
She won't be able to marry his brother. Eish
Ezach. Maybe after he dies?
Yeah, unless there's the Yibum, there's no Yisra. The Yisra remains forever.
Right. But
You don't have to have a reason to be able to get to somebody.
That's if she accepts it or doesn't accept it, but you can't make an agent for her.
For her.
He's asking an agent to accept it for her.
Okay.
Now, I can ask an agent to accept a present for you, even though you know nothing about it. That's because it's good to get a present. Ram Kohn will scream, send him a Tanis Yechia. But it's good to get presents. So therefore, I can ask an agent, accept this $100 for Rav Moshe Freund. To give a woman a divorce, it's not in her benefit. You can't make an agent for her. No. His agent is good to hate. He can do whatever he wants.
Can a man marry wife sister after his
wife? That's the only Arabic that becomes mutter. Two Arabics become mutter at death. Eches Ish and Achai Tisha. His wife's sister.
Eches
Ish. Any married woman that her husband died, she can get married.
And Yibum.
And Yibum. But Yibum is a specific case.
Who's the wife buried next to?
Nobody knows. We're not getting involved in that now. It's not the subject here.
This woman can't marry the brother.
No, it's Eches Rach. Only if it's Yibum. I'm a zaki get the ishtay b'makim yavam. Now, given the sangulates chutzula, since we normally, ladies hate their brother-in-law, it's good, the zachel adem shleim b'fanav. Oiduma, given the zimnin the rachmalei, chayvula v'ein chavim adem shleim b'fanav. Sometimes she does like her brother-in-law. What do we say? Can he do it or can he not do it? Zog the gemara amalei tanina. It's our mishnah. It says, v'chayshish in l'dvarav. It says, in the case of, right, she came and told us, we knew of no brother. She came and told us, I'm sorry, we knew of no son. Right? Sorry, she had a son. She had a son, and she came and told us that her son predeceased her husband. Right? She was a chazaka potter from Yibum, and she's coming to tell us that she's chayiv in Yibum. Right. So the Mishnah said, the Mishnah says, right, we trust her enough because, and we make her need chalitza. Right? That's what the Mishnah said. Now hold a second. Right? She came in and said, listen to what happened. Reuven left town with a son. Sorry, Reuven left town with no son. She came and told us, we had a son, and he... Reuven, I just want to get the case straight. Reuven left town with a son. She came and told us that her son predeceased her husband, and she now needs Yibum. Right? So we say to her, listen, you can't have Yibum. You're not believed to say this. Married. Because you said you need Yibum. Right? Because you said you need Yibum. Therefore, we make her have Chalitza. Now, we ask him to have Chalitza. Right? Now, the same case is true. She walks out with no children. And she needed Yibum. And she comes back and says, I got a son. My husband predeceased my son. I don't need Yibum. Say to her, I don't believe you. Right? And Chalitza, but you need Chalitza because we can't have Yibum because you told us you can't have Yibum.
Because there wasn't a Pesha Asar there. She left.
Again, I know why.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, if there's an emotion of hatred that women, we accuse women of hating their yavam, why don't we say that we should dismiss her testimony completely? We shouldn't even believe her to answer herself on herself. She hates the guy's guts. Or we should say she loves her yavam and therefore she's lying to be eligible to yavam. In both cases, if there is an emotion all the time of hatred or all the time of love towards a yavam, In the case where we're conflicting with that emotion, we should say, when she's saying that, we should say, it's not even answering it on herself. It's a total lie. Because she has this hatred, or she has this love. The answer is, some love and some hate. There's no given emotion that we can take for granted. Therefore, you can't give your wife a get, because we don't know. Does she love her Yavam? Does she hate her Yavam? We have no idea. From the Mishnah that takes her words into account and doesn't say, throw what she says out of Bezin, because she does it only because of hatred, or she does it only because of love. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't allow that means the Mishnah is saying, we're not sure of the emotion of a woman to her Yavam. Sometimes it's one way, sometimes it's the other way. Therefore, we say Shavya Navshachaticha the Yisura. Whereas if we were sure that this woman always hates her Yavam, we wouldn't even take into account her words when she said, I don't need Yavam anymore. Because he hates his guts. Again, she comes in and says, I'm out of Yavam. We don't believe her because she had a Cheskes Yavam. But we say, since she said she's out of Yavam, we can't let Yavam. Or she comes in and says, I'm in Yibum. That's the Chazaka was that she wasn't in Yibum. And now we believe her enough that we don't let her get married. Why? She did it because of emotion. We shouldn't even take her words into account. The answer is, there's no one emotion. That's what the Gemara is trying to prove. By the very fact that we don't dismiss her words entirely, that means there's no one emotion.
It doesn't factor in.
Doesn't factor in. Let's read the Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Hamazaki get l'ishta shasha shliach l'kabola to accept it for her. Bezikalai de shliach tizgarashim achshav. She wants the divorce to kick in now. Memachim yavam. She has l'ach. She has a brother. Menischavim l'paitre mena. And he wants to pater his wife from Yibam. If there's no Yavam, why in the world do we think it's good for a woman to get divorced? Women want to be married. Because she hates his guts. The Chosh, what? Again, that's the Shaila. In both cases, we take her words enough to worry. In the case of Yitzia Becheskes Hetel Lushuk, in the case that she left, well, Yibum was not an option. Above Achzik Atzmali Yavam, now she came and said, I need Yibum. We don't dismiss her completely. That we should say she's for sure lying because she loves him, Kamara. We don't say that. We don't assume a woman loves her Yibum. And in the opposite case, when she needed Yibum and now came and permitted herself, we don't say for sure she's lying from the Sanyalay. That means we're not sure about the emotion. It's not an overwhelming emotion one way or the other way. So if he gives it a get that way, we're not sure. We're not sure. We don't know whether it's good for a woman or not good for a woman. Therefore, we say it's a suffiget. It's a suffiget. So these chalitza, no yibum. So the Maitre, he saved her from yibum. But, you know, now she has to wait for chalitza. That's what we're saying. Now, Tysus asked the Kashi here, maybe it's because, not because we believe her or have a suffix, maybe it's because Shabbat Navshachaticha V'Yisura. A person can say this is treif. We don't have to believe him, it's on himself. The Tysus says the word chaylesis means we require chalitza, not we ask chalitza, like I translated before. Why do we require it? If we don't believe her at all, don't require it. Beg him, but don't require it. The fact that we're requiring chalitza means have a tzad to believe her.
Question is very strong. We're very cautious.
Right. And therefore, to Raya, that it's not an overwhelming emotion. Because if we're overwhelming emotion, we would just dismiss her and say, we're not taking your words at all.
We require meaning that she can't marry him.
No, we require means we force the guy to give her chalitza.
Normally a person has, the man, the brother-in-law has mitzvah of chalitza, right?
An option of even a chalitza, correct.
Right. But if he doesn't take it on, we don't force him.
Yes, we do. Do Yibum or Chalitza.
Because we give him time.
Whatever Bezin decides, but they force people to give Chalitza. Can't let a woman hang.
Okay.
Then you're married to Shema Mandu.
Every case is forced.
Right. No, here we wouldn't. If we wouldn't believe her at all, we would say, listen, do what you want. We're not getting involved. You know, we don't trust her at all. The fact that we're requiring chalitza means there's a slight trust. Why is there a slight trust if she hates his guts? Why is there a slight trust if she loves him? And the answer is, because there's no overwhelming emotion here.
We stopped at Tashma?
Stopped at Amalei Ravina LaRava. Everybody should have a one.